Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we're here with a transfer deadline day update from Manchester United, although admittedly, not much news to discuss on it from today, but we're very pleased to have Joshy back on. You can find on Twitter at @duck_Joshy now that he's properly reclaimed his formal Twitter handle there. So Joshy, very happy for that and to have you back on. We'll start off with obviously not any deals today because there were none, but the window actually started off pretty promisingly, getting Dalot in pretty cheaply from Porto, a very promising young right back at a position where obviously Darmian hasn't really thrived, although Valencia has done well since shifting back to defense. You also bring in Fred, who had been linked to a lot of other big clubs and seemed to be filling a void left by Carrick, who's moved on career-wise, and you had Fellaini, who it looked like he was going to go. But those seemed pretty early and good signings. Were you happy with the motion in the early stages of the window?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the window, it wasn't right at the beginning, but when those two deals happened, I think they happened in the same week. So, you know, I was like, oh, there's a little flurry of activity here. And the key was like Fred is, or Fregi apparently, or Fresh, I don't know, there's a way to pronounce it, but anyway, Fred, we'll keep it at that. You know, he's highly rated, heard a lot about him, seen him in the Champions League, impressed, although, you know, there's obviously still a lot of room for improvement. He's at a good age, coming into his prime, you know, about in his mid-20s, and really, when, you know, he's filling a hole in the squad in terms of personnel with Carrick retiring, but they're very much different players. And I think the idea of sort of Fred is that kind of player that can break things up and then take the ball forward. And when I've seen him in sort of the Champions League and in pre-season, he does get his head up very quickly. He's very good with his feet on the ball as well. So I've seen him get out of some tight situations really well, and he does look up early and likes to pass early, which I think as things develop will benefit when Lukaku is making those runs in the channels, and you've got likes of Sanchez and Rashford and Mata going into space and Lingard and things like that. So look, he looks like an exciting signing, but I don't want to say you know, he's game-changing. The thing is, he's coming from an inferior league, let's face it. The good thing about it is I think it's a fairly physical league. The conditions aren't always the best, so, you know, he's had to adapt in those situations. And by all accounts, from when you read about what's been said about him by his previous coaches, they're very impressed, and they love his attitude and his work rate and his ability. But there is a bit of a, like, well, it might take him time to adapt. And I think that's what's happened in previous sort of teams when he's arrived. So really pleased with that signing, because I think that midfield spot was needed. And he's that kind of player that can, I think, on paper, can complement Matic and Pogba. Matic can now, I think one of the things is he can now just sit. He doesn't have to travel with the ball forward, which sometimes we saw last season. He doesn't have to support in those in the sort of higher up areas, which we did see him do early on in the season. And this signing should hopefully help him conserve his legs as well in that regard. And Pogba is, obviously, we know all about him, and we just need a bit more consistency from him. And we saw that in the World Cup. So hopefully on paper, those three together can really form a formidable midfield. So for me, excited to see him regularly in the Premier League, but I'm not going to sort of get overly praise him and sort of try and make him out to be better than he is, but it looks like a very good signing and a lot of top clubs are in for him. Dalot is a different sort of prospect for me. I didn't know a lot about him, if I'm honest with you. So most of what I know is from conversations with people who have seen him at in Portugal and who have sort of followed him or from things that I've read. And he can play on the right or the left, young, promising, very promising fullback. He's extremely highly rated from what I've read. Excellent delivery crossing, you know, in the final third, which I think will benefit someone like Lukaku, because at the moment, Antonio Valencia on that right-hand side, his crossing, for whatever reason, I don't know, given he's a converted winger, it's just poor. But those two signings, I was very pleased with, because it was in key areas where we do need to have cover. Obviously, since then, oh, and let's not forget Lee Grant, who's come in as a sort of basically third choice goalkeeper to allow Joel Pereira to go out on loan and develop. Again, he's going to a big club in Portugal, and hopefully he'll be the starting goalkeeper there and really develop his game. It's not really an area, obviously, where we're worried. We've got De Gea, and now with Courtois going to Real Madrid, De Gea is basically signed on for life at Manchester United, unfortunately for him. it's one of those things. He's probably he's up there with the best keepers I've ever seen, and I've, you know, watched Van der Sar and Schmeichel on a regular basis, and unfortunately he's at the club in an era where we're just not winning a lot of stuff, but really pleased that he's very likely to stay on now. So yeah, so that's the transfer activity we've had. And you know, each signing has their merits. I wouldn't say I'm upset about any of them. I think they're all good signings in themselves. Overall, obviously, we would have liked more, but there's, you know, hopefully things to look forward to.
Yeah, then things seemed like they would accelerate. Jose Mourinho had the noted five players that he wanted to be picked from. At center back, then it sounded like maybe you would get two of them, then slowly became one of them, and then by the end of the window ended up being none of them. Were any of the center backs listed ones that you thought you really would have liked to add in particular, or was it just any of them and then came up short?
No, I think through the summer we've been linked with, I wouldn't be able to tell you how many, but off the top of my head, we had Varane, Maguire, Alderweireld. There was that Turkish guy. Boateng, Yerry Mina, and those are just in the last week or so. And then at the last minute, we had news of a bid for Godin, which had turned out to be the agent sort of playing with us a little bit to get his guy a new contract. So a lot of names, and in just the last week before that, we there were a lot of other names, even like the likes of Johnny Evans. So it's an area where I think we've got a lot of depth in terms of numbers, not necessarily in terms of quality. But I would say out of all of those, and being realistic, given Godin was not a realistic target because they were just sort of, he was never going to leave Atletico. Alderweireld would have been my choice of the ones that I've mentioned, because Varane, again, wasn't a realistic target, although I think he's up there now with some of the best, probably in that top tier of centre-back. So Alderweireld, we know in terms of his quality what he can do. We've seen it in the Premier League. We saw it in the World Cup. Now in this situation at centre back, I don't mind that he's sort of 29 years old. You know, everyone talks about age, but I don't mind because that he's got a lot of experience. He brings a lot of leadership.
That used to be a player's prime before this kind of youth fetishization that happened in football.
Yeah, and especially at centre back, centre backs can have a bit more longevity, and so I think, you know, if he had come in. And the reason, even though we've got a lot of numbers at centre-back, the reason why I would have liked him, him coming in with that experience and just that ability to play on the ground and that level-headedness and leadership alongside Baye and Lindelof, not necessarily in a three, but, you know, alongside them in the squad. You know, there's that sort of almost mentorship type situation you've got going on there, because those two are around 20 to 23 years old. They're still developing their game. And again, like I said, especially at centre-back, you're going to see that later on in their career at their peak. Those two, I think, potentially could be a long-term partnership at United. So at the back, I wouldn't have minded that sort of more experienced player. And then when we were linked with Godin, hypothetically, I was like, I'd be ecstatic with that. But knowing full well, it's a last-minute just rumour that's never going to happen. And I tweeted that, so I'm not just saying that for the podcast. But still, you know, that age, he's coming in. He's an elite centre back. Really can help mentor the likes of Baye and Lindelof. And I think when you look at the rest of the squad, like Smalling, good, not great. Jones, I think Jones is an excellent player, but he's just always injured, so he just doesn't get that rhythm going. He can't. Whenever he's had long stretches in a team, I think he's done excellently. We talk about how he makes silly faces and things like that. And there was that famous thing where he slipped and was falling to the ground and then, you know, headed the ball out of Giroud's path against Arsenal. And I think that was a great bit of improvised defending, but obviously because it's Phil Jones, it becomes a comedy moment. But I think he's a good player, but he just can't rely on him. So there's an issue there. And Rojo, I think a lot of United fans like him very much, and he is versatile, but I don't think he is a top level centre back. And again, I wouldn't have minded, say, for example, we got rid of two of those three and brought in Alderweireld. That would have been nice for me. Now, it didn't happen, but it's not, to me, it's not the end of the world. Jose Mourinho has already spent 65 million pounds on Baye and Lindelof. Now, it might be that he doesn't trust them from an injury perspective, might be that he doesn't trust them from an experience perspective, but he has spent 65 million pounds on two centre-backs, and he has never started them together. So to me, I think there's an issue there where he needs to look at himself and go, well, actually, right, I don't have that centre back that I wanted. Now it's time for me to put my coaching skills to the test and get them playing together. They're two centre back, like Lindelof, excellent during the World Cup. We saw that. Baye, we know, can be excellent. Now with him, there's obviously again the injury issues, and hopefully he's okay. Towards the end of last, he came back and was actually available last season, but Mourinho didn't play him for whatever reason. And it was, I think it was apparently because he came to training late or something. I can't remember exactly what the reason is, but he's been fit. He's been training. So hopefully he can develop that long-term partnership. So for me, I want to see Jose Mourinho bring because let's face it, he's a top-level coach and has been for a long time. He's a winner. We want to bring that expertise now to these two young centre-backs and just go, fine, we're now just going to say, let's trust these two, because you can't trust Smalling because he's not good enough. You can't trust Jones because he's always injured and has got a mistake in him. You can't trust Rojo because he's not good enough. So just let's put faith in the two signings that he wanted them, you know. So that's what I would say from the centre-back perspective. Yeah, we missed out, but there were other areas that I'm sort of not bitterly, bitterly disappointed, actually, because I am bitter about the Glazers. But there are other areas of the squad that I would have focused on anyway.
That's a really interesting point, that this gives those players an opportunity to play, because I think a lot of clubs who are frustrated that they didn't make signings, including my own, forget that this is how a lot of younger players break through into the team, is when they aren't blocked off by a big signing. So there is potentially an upside. But I think I might just be going through the acceptance stage of getting through grief.
No, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's not a bad thing, and I don't mind. Whilst I am bitterly disappointed, I do like the idea of some of the younger players coming through. The only problem with that is Tuan Zebe's gone out on loan, Fosu-Mensah's gone out on loan. So actually our young players that would have potentially played at centre-back aren't there. So, you know, that's not an issue, because actually I want to see Lindelof Baye play more, and then you've got three waiting in the wings as backup. So that's fine. Tuan Zebe and Fosu-Mensah weren't going to get that many games anyway, although at Forstmenter at right back would have been a great option. But Fulham have got a good player there on their hands. So yeah, I don't mind actually, because we've seen for United, we've seen Andreas Pereira. He's been excellent in pre-season. So there's potential there for him to come through. And he's different to what he's done in previous seasons. He's played in that deep lying role, like that Matic role, but a bit more of a playmaker as opposed to Matic, who sits and wins the ball and then sort of releases in fairly simple passing. He's a good passer, but he's not sort of expansive. So whilst Pereira, again, he seems to have added some bite to his game, really getting into the tackles, and also we know he's a good passer. So there's that sort of thing that whilst we have signed a midfielder, I think he might come in as well a bit more often. So we do have options. I don't want to be totally negative, but still, you know, there are, like I say, areas of the squad that needed and still need some type of improvement.
We've kind of mentioned that lack of signings down the stretch there. One of the reported reasons being that maybe the board didn't want to invest in Jose Mourinho. Is that how you view it, or do you think there were other factors involved?
I think there were loads of factors involved, and you know, people are, that might be one of them, in the sense that they maybe not. They didn't want to invest in Jose Mourinho, but they didn't want to invest in Jose Mourinho's targets, because like an experienced centre-back to them has no resale value, there's no real commercial value. And this is why I think someone like Harry Maguire came to the top of the list for whatever reason. Let's be frank, I don't actually rate him as a top-tier centre-back. Other people disagree, and that's fine. But he was excellent in the World Cup, has had a lot of press since then. Would be a good commercial signing, I think, given he's like part of this new generation of England players. But the caveat to all of this England stuff is they didn't actually play anyone decent when he performed well. It wasn't against the best sides. Against Croatia, they took it to the wire, but ultimately the defending let them down. And I'm not saying Maguire is a rubbish player. I just don't think he comes to United and elevates the side in any way, shape or form. People want to talk about him scoring goals from centre-back. From set pieces. His record actually isn't great. He just sort of did well at the World Cup. So I think this part comes back to what the board see as investable assets as opposed to footballing need. So they've sort of indulged Mourinho potentially with Matic, for example. Sanchez is a commercial asset because he's a superstar player. But if you look around at the other players, Pogba, Bailly, Lindelof, Fred, even Mkhitaryan when he signed, they weren't at that sort of 30-year-old end. Zlatan came for free, and he's obviously a massively marketable character. So I think there is this commercial outlook on how they want to do things. And the other thing is, you know, I think that as long as they're making money, they don't care what happens on the pitch. And that's actually, Edward Wood has said that in an investor call where he goes, it doesn't matter how successful we are on the pitch, because we're still a commercial behemoth off it. And look, this week we've announced three new commercial partners, as well as launching a new app, which will get, I'm sure, millions of downloads. So for him, he's happy. He's good to go. And as long as Mourinho can keep us in the top four, I'm sure from a financial perspective, they'll be happy. They don't really care about the sort of the football. And to me, that's a massive problem. In the long run, that business model won't last. But at the moment, the Glazers are taking money out of the club and doing well out of it. So why should they be that bothered? So, you know, it's from the point of view of the transfer window, the blame is squarely on the Glazers and Edward Wood. I think we had a lot of the whole there's no value in the market sort of stuff that we used to hear from Alex Ferguson. And actually, in fairness, there are some ludicrous fees going around. That new keeper that Chelsea signed, 80 million euros, that is a ludicrous fee. And is he, I mean, if he's 80 million euros and And Liverpool are paying 70 something million euros for the Brazilian chap. You're looking at, and we almost sold De Gea for 30 million a couple of years ago. De Gea is like top tier, and these guys are still coming up. So you can see where the board is coming from as well, to an extent, but that's the market. That's the market they're playing in. So, you know, I can see why they wouldn't necessarily want to shell out 70 million for Harry Maguire or 60 million for Toby Alderweireld, because next year he'll be available for 25. So there are reasons which I can understand if I look at it without my like football hat on and a business hat on. But to me, it doesn't make sense, because if we're successful on the pitch, their revenues go up massively. They'll spike. Imagine if we win the league, and this is what I don't get, is if we win the league with this level of commercial partnership now, if we win the league, imagine what that would look like. And that's what I don't get. Yeah, it's kind of like that whole, you've got to spend to make money.
Mm.
So, and the pattern is emerging. Every single time we don't make the top four, we spend a lot of money. Then we get back into the top four, we don't spend so much. So, you know, I think that top four is like the goal for the Glazers, really.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, and we're certainly experiencing that at Tottenham as well. The finances make that the target, while obviously on the footballing side, especially the fans, and I'm sure many of the players would like to win something. Rather than just be financially viable. You brought up a lot of reasons as to why the window was slow on the whole. I mean, City signed one player, you signed three, we signed none. Chelsea had signed none until very recently. You mentioned bringing in Kepa, his last name, and obviously get Kovacic in as well. Really, Liverpool of the top six were really the only team to heavily invest. Yeah. I suppose Arsenal made moves, I just wasn't impressed by them, but
yeah,
I guess all I'm saying is it was a slow window, and I think you make some really good points. I think World Cup years are always tough in the market because a lot of players' values get overinflated, and then if you're using those as a barometer for the price levels of other players, things get kind of crazy pretty quickly. And I think in large part Daniel Levy decided to just not play that game, and it sounds like mm-hmm. United were kind of thinking the same.
Yeah, I think that's fair assessment. The World Cup itself would have made certain deals more difficult. But then you can look at Liverpool and say they laid the groundwork, they got their plans in place and signed the players that they wanted. But also the window shutting early, which I think is I think in principle I don't mind it shutting early, because you should have I like to think that your squad should be start your season with the squad that you're going to have, and I think that to me makes sense. But only if the rest of Europe is on board with that, right? Now, at the moment, they're not. So the Premier League is at a massive disadvantage. European clubs don't have to sell to the Premier League. That's why you'll get all these inflated fees, because you know there's a short deadline and all this stuff. And now they are waiting to see whether they can come in and poach certain players. So that obviously didn't help. And again, the inflated fees, yeah, it is a bit, it's been happening over the last few years, and there's going to be a point, surely, when it's going to sort of settle down, because it's not sustainable. If a club like Manchester United is going to balk at the transfers fees going on, then there's obviously issues there. But on the other teams, I think City didn't really need to make mm-hmm. a ton of signings. I think Mahrez was an odd one. Maybe I would have thought they would have targeted a central midfielder, and I think the Chelsea lad Jorginho was one of their targets, and yep. Fred was apparently one of their targets, and that they didn't end up with a central midfielder feels a bit odd, and they've ended up with a wide player or an attacking player where they are fairly well stocked, but ultimately they won the league by 19 points last season, so it's not like they had a massive need. And I understand they're very impressed with the lad Phil Foden, so maybe he'll get more games in central midfield. And Gundogan is going to be fit, so you've got a few of things going on there. They didn't need anyone. Arsenal, I do agree, they've made moves, but no one in that group are. I don't see them elevating. The more interesting thing is the manager coming in. How is he going to adapt and take them forward? Similarly at Chelsea, I think that Jorginho looks like an excellent player, fits Sarri's system. That's going to be an interesting thing there. But then signing this keeper, goalkeeper, named keeper or Kepa, that was a weird one. I know they needed to sign someone because Courtois was leaving, but surely they would have known that early on and they would have worked on something else. I don't know how good this guy is, but that is a lot of money for a goalkeeper. But as we've seen with De Gea, they can be invaluable. So they're going to be an interesting side to watch, although they're potentially a bit light up front unless Morata can find his scoring boots or Batshuayi gets games up front. The real interesting one is Liverpool. They hit the Champions League final last mm-hmm. season, third in the league. Klopp has now spent close to 350 million actually 400 million. Actually, I don't even know what the number is. This summer they've spent about 160 million, maybe more. So now if you're a Champions League finalist, third in the league, you spent that much money, and then in his time at Liverpool they're hitting like 350, 400 million. He's got to win the league, right? There's no two ways about it. He has to deliver a big trophy.
I don't know if there can be an expectation for anybody to win the league when City are still as built as they are, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of that kind of expenditure with he's been at Liverpool now for, this will be his fourth season.
Yeah.
Will this be his fourth or fifth? Fourth season,
I think. Fourth.
And no trophy, a lot of money spent. He's got to start delivering, surely, because it's not like, let's say, Tottenham, who haven't spent a shit ton of money and they don't, spend hundreds of millions every summer. So you can kind of see, progression for Tottenham, that you wouldn't expect them to sort of go on and win the league or win a trophy, because they're working within a certain sort of sphere. But if you're going to go out and spend the kind of money that Klopp has, and he's been there for 4 years or 3 years and starting his fourth season, and it's essentially his team, you're now looking at them can they make that step up? So that'll be an interesting one as well. Not a lot happened in the transfer window, but there are interesting things happening at each club, perhaps not at Tottenham.
Yeah. For United, there is still a lot of window to go. Just a gentle reminder to folks that the international windows are all still open, except for the Premier League. So Premier League clubs could still lose players. For Manchester United, obviously, Fellaini not on the way out. It seemed like he was, and then he signed an extension. You do still have Anthony Martial, who is clearly having some issues within the club, whether it be minutes based or whatever is going on between him and Mourinho that I'm not going to speculate on. Are you thinking that Martial will still be a United player come September?
Yeah, simply because we didn't get anyone in. So I know that right wing position was an area of focus for Mourinho, and rightly so. We don't have a natural right-sided player with Willian and Perisic, although, again, you could argue Perisic isn't naturally right-sided. But the point is, if we had got someone in, then I think maybe that Martial leaving would be more of an issue. But now that we haven't got someone in, if you think about it, we, in terms of backup for Lukaku, you know, there are players who can, there are versatile with Rashford, Sanchez, Martial, all able to play sort of on that left side and through the middle. So, but because we haven't signed anyone, I think we were linked with like Mandzukic and other players as well. I think Mario Gomez at one point, if I'm right, but we didn't get anyone in. So I don't see him going. It would be foolish to allow him to leave with having not got someone in. And actually on that point, the idea that, you know, we don't have this right-sided player, but this is again another area where I think Mourinho now has to show us his coaching abilities. And it's not something we've seen a lot from him over the years in terms of his attacking coaching. I think he's less sort of structured in the way way teams attack. He kind of just relies on the front lot to do their thing. But I wouldn't mind seeing him, or wouldn't mind seeing Rashford put out on that right side, see how he can get on and really start to develop into a player. And I think with the new coaching setup with Carrick, Kieran McKenna, you can already see in pre-season we're pressing a bit better. We may have more of that, more structure in that side of in the attacking side of things. And I think he's got all the attributes to play on that right hand side. And we saw what can happen if you do try someone out on that right side with Mbappe when he went to PSG. And you know, they obviously had a plethora of attacking talent, so they put him out on the right, even though at Monaco he was up front or wide left. And he's obviously done extremely well, and World Cup showed that as well. Now, I'm not saying Rashford is on the same level talent-wise as Mbappe, but the principle is there. They're both quick, both good with their feet, both good strikers of the ball, and both, you know, young and should be able to learn and develop. So that's my idea, is like if he can do that and see what he can get out of Rashford down that right-hand side long-term. And that's the thing that this is where the issue arises, I think, for Mourinho. He wants to win the league and you can't carry a player. And I think if you do try and develop Rashford on that right-hand side, you will have to, in certain matches, sort of carry him. He's not going to be effective in every single game as he's learning that role. And this is where Mourinho sort of maybe lacks a bit of patience. Even when he plays players out of position, he expects a certain level of consistency, which is a good thing in terms of his intensity and his will to win, but not so good when you're trying to allow a young player to learn and develop. So whilst I'd like to see that, I don't think we will. So yeah, it's an area of need. And to go back to your original question, that's why I don't think Martial will go, because we're short in terms of numbers and we don't have anyone coming through from the academy, you can just come in and fill in.
Do you think there will be any other players that go out? Maybe young players that are looking to get a loan, or any first teamers like Darmian?
So, given that Fosu Mensah has gone out on loan to Fulham, I think Darmian will now stay because Diego Dalot is injured, and Antonio Valencia is injured. So even if Valencia was fit, with Dalot injured, you don't have much cover down that right-hand side. Ashley Young can play there, but then we've only got him and Luke Shaw on the other side. And until Dalot is fit, because he can play both sides, you know, even when he is fit, because I'm not expecting him to come in straight away and tear things up. But we're short at fullback, which is just disgraceful, to be honest with you. So I don't expect Darmian to go, which is a shame because he's just awful. Potentially one of the centre backs could go, but that means it will be Rojo if a foreign club is interested. I don't see Smalling or Jones moving abroad. And Martial, whilst I'm And what, in my personal opinion, is he won't go. He's probably the other one in sort of those attacking positions that may go. But because we've not been able to bring the players in that we wanted to, I don't see too much activity now for United. So those are probably the three, the two, Rojo and potentially Martial. But again, very much doubtful.
Fair enough. Any other United thoughts before we head out of here?
Well, look, that was a very negative assessment, and that's because of the transfer window, right? But I don't think it's all doom and gloom. And like I say, this is it's going to be a challenge for Mourinho to prove that he's still got the ability to coach and manage people and get the best out of them, which he has shown he can do. And the other point to make is, yes, okay, we didn't get these players in, and maybe we won't sort of win the league, but we've got a group of players in Sanchez, Lukaku, Pogba, Mata, Lingard, potentially Fred. You know, these guys, have I missed anyone? Martial, Rashford, right? We didn't see the best of those players. Sorry, you could argue that Lingard and, to a point, Lukaku, but the rest of them, there's so much that they could be doing better, right? So we didn't, you know, we saw it in flashes. Sanchez was here and he hardly did anything since arriving in January, but now he looks fresh, he looks sharp, he looks motivated. Pogba's coming off the back of an excellent World Cup. Hopefully he can come in and bring some of that leadership that he showed. Fred, obviously being a new signing, will want to impress. Then you've got Rashford and Martial still developing. And yes, they may not be overly happy that they're not starting as many games as they'd like, but they have to sit down and knuckle hard and get those games and earn them. Lingard, hopefully he develops further, and Lukaku looks like he's just getting better and better and better. So, you know, none of them really played to their highest potential except probably Lingard. So there's so much room there for these guys to go into. Obviously the caveat is Mourinho. He has to be the one that cajoles this out of them, sets them up in a way that gets the best out of them. So, you know, so that's the positive, is the fact that these guys can, there's a lot more sort of margin for them to improve than I would say a lot of other clubs. So there is potential there. Also with Bailly and Lindelof, again, there's potential there. And, you know, De Gea is a world-class keeper. So there are things to look forward to. I'd say Pereira again, Andreas Pereira coming in. I like seeing the young players come in. McTominay, he was solid last season. I don't think he's going to be a sort of a top-end player or anything like that. But it's nice to see them come through and do a good job, because he did do a good job last season. So, yeah, there's lots of things to think about there and lots of things to be positive about. And, you know, I, for one, am looking forward to seeing the season start tomorrow. As much as I am disappointed and annoyed with the Glazers and disappointed with the transfer window, I'm extremely, I'm very much looking forward to the football kicking off and seeing these guys and seeing what they can do. Although, obviously, we're not going to see a lot of them until they're all fully recovered from injuries and World Cup and stuff. But there's a lot of potential in that squad.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Basically, with these shows, now we can just focus on the actual football, which is back tomorrow as we record, especially for you as a United fan. So very much looking forward to that. And obviously on future shows, we'll also be talking about football instead of speculating on players and their motivations and clubs' motivations for keeping or selling them. Joshy, an absolute pleasure speaking with you as always. If you want to plug anything or tell people where they can find you, now be a good time.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure chatting about football. Look, you can find me on Twitter at @doc_Joshy. I write on my own website, which is docjoshy.co.uk. I also do appear on Full Time Devils YouTube channel and various podcasts, including this one, obviously.
Yeah, well, thanks again for joining us. Good luck tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.